3CR's Turn 40, and from Monday 10th of October right through to Saturday 19th of November, we're celebrating. Join us on 3CR Breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m. Monday to Saturday as we delve into our rich 3CR archive and bring you half an hour of historic gems. So start your day with the sounds that built a station. 40 days of groundbreaking audio celebrating 3CR's 40 years of radical radio.
Those people who have no land rights haven't got justice, but neither do those people who have land rights have justice.
You're listening to Community Radio Network around Australia, live coverage of events from the Aboriginal 10 Embassy in Canberra. Brought to you by 3CR Community Radio. 2012 marks the 40th anniversary of the Embassy. So stay tuned as we bring you news, live updates, music and interviews with Aboriginal people from around the country.
The only free body we have is the Aboriginal government on the grassroots and the Aboriginal Embassy on the lawns outside the old Parliament House. We will not go away, and as that stone rests in that mountain, and as our spirit rests in this country and over this country, we will not go away. Neither shall our power pass, and that's here forever until justice comes.
Okay, we're back. Here live, the 10 Embassy Show, going across Australia through the Community Radio Network and being produced today on the next 3 days by 3CR, Community Radio in Melbourne. As I told you earlier, Tony Abbott and Julia Gillard just made a little press stop announcement about 50 metres down the road here from the 10 Embassy. And I think when asked about the 10 Embassy, Tony Abbott said that it should be ripped down. And it's funny that he did it 50 metres from here, where there's a, I don't know, 1,000 people gathered. And it was obviously, a provocational attack, and he wanted to incite a riot, and he nearly got one. One of the people that's been here, also one of the leaders of our community across Australia, is Auntie Pat Etock. And we're going to get her blow-by-blow account of what happened, because she's got a little souvenir she'll tell you about.
Okay.
Finally, Pat.
Thank you very much. Yes, I became aware of a movement of people hurrying in the direction of the... what do they call that little...
It's a cafe.
It's a little restaurant that's beside the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
And all the politicians 40 years ago used to go there for dinner. But given that there's nothing really around here except the embassy, the only reason for them to have decided to have their press conferences at that restaurant was to, as a to be provocative, to try and get some sort of a response. So I went rushing over there on my little mobility scooter, because after all, I'm pushing on a bit now. I'm 75 this year. And there was a bit of shouting, you know, around outside. We weren't allowed in, but there was the usual, obviously what you would expect, you know, always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Yeah.
And how we are totally disappointed. We had a right to expect better from the Labor Party, from a Labor government, given the history of Gough Whitlam and how he gave the Gurindji the dust in their hand and talked about land rights. And how badly the Labor Party has continued the Northern Territory intervention. So we were there equally astonished at both of these people deciding to have a press conference so provocatively close to us.
Amazing.
Now, maybe they thought they could incite a riot. And there was a lot of noise and a lot of shouting, but there was certainly no physical threats or anything like that.
Yeah.
So then suddenly out of the side door and only about 2 feet away from me, this phalanx of police, about 15 or 20 police, shoved through the crowd. And lo and behold, 2.5 feet away from me was Julia Gillard being whooshed past me like a torpedo coming out of a tube and straight down the steps. Now, they... bustled her out so quickly that no sooner was she out of sight than somebody noticed there was a shoe left behind. No, it is not a glass slipper. It is a dark blue
suede. It's a blue suede shoe, lady.
Yeah, it's a blue suede shoe.
That's it on that blue suede shoe, honey.
It's very small. It's labelled Midas, M-I-D-A-S.
Not even an expensive label.
Yeah. 32? Glorify 36 is what it says. So quite a small shoe, and there's only one of them. It's unfortunate it wasn't actually thrown, like some shoes have been thrown at different leaders in different places at different times. Yes, but it's quite a nice little, a wedge heel. Very small feet. Mm. Very small feet.
I thought you'd have bigger feet than that. Yeah. She's quite a large woman.
Well, I don't know actually how tall she is in real life, but she doesn't seem particularly small when she's on television.
No, that's what I mean.
And I know that she's a strong woman, but she's strong in all the wrong ways.
That's
you
right.
You know, and the way
she used her strength for goodness instead
the
of
ways
evil.
She has betrayed the Aboriginal people by continuing on this intervention. Absolutely shameful, almost as shameful as the way she has been so inhumane to the refugees, who are people looking desperately for a safe place to live and raise their children. Mm. And after all, everybody but the Aboriginal people, that is us, everyone else but us is a boat person, figuratively or literally.
Well said. So you heard that, folks, eBay. I will get more details about that, but I reckon it'll be up there in the next week or so on eBay.
Give us till at least till Sunday, because we've got to get back to Sydney, and we've got 3 days of careful discussion. And believe me, the fact that Tony Abbott said 2 days ago that he wasn't really sure whether his side of politics were prepared to support the changes to the Constitution. Well, Tony, I've got news for you. We don't give a damn whether you support us or not. We waited two and a quarter centuries to get mentioned in the Constitution. Now it's all too late.
Yeah.
It's too damn late. We are not even recognised in any way on the Australian flag. That also is too damn late. It's too late to try and treat us with respect, the respect that we should have had and deserved right from the beginning. It's too damn late. It's all too late. We have given up talking about sovereignty. We've given up trying to get respect from you people. Most non-Aboriginal people still write Aboriginal with a small A so that it's just an adjective. Or they call us Aborigines when there are in fact Aborigines in the mountains of southern India, and there are Aborigines in Indonesia. We're tired of being called Aborigines, and we're certainly not going to argue with all you people who think that because you're born somewhere in Australia that you're... that you are Indigenous. You know, Indigenous is supposed to mean much more than that. But what you're going to wake up to by the end of this week, you're going to see Aboriginal people for the first time claiming our own sovereignty. We're not going to talk to any of you about what we might get. We're not asking for anything. We are going to be telling you. And we're going to be telling you that we want all sorts of, you know, we haven't really come down to the final details, but I personally think we should have 2% of GDP and we should have 2% of corporate profits. You know, if they can make profits out of living on our land, then they can pay for it. Now, I think pay the rent at 2%. And if you don't understand that, just come and ask me and I'll tell you again.
We're not talking about land rights, we're talking about sovereignty. That's why it's important for us to be at the 10 embassy.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, live coverage of events from the Aboriginal 10 Embassy in Canberra. 2012 marks the 40th anniversary of the embassy, so stay tuned to 3CR as we bring you news, live updates, music and interviews with Aboriginal activists from around the country.
Because we've got to let this woman know, the woman that's running the country, that it's not her country, you know, that it's our country.
You're listening to 3CR's 40 Days of Radical Radio special, celebrating 3CR's 40 fabulous years of community radio.
Hi, my name is Frank Yammer. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio Station Live.
Yeah, welcome back to the old lawns of Parliament House, where we're having the 40th year anniversary of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. And throughout the day, we're going to hear from people on the ground here, including Michael Anderson, who is one of the surviving members of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy, or the only surviving member of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. Before we do that, I'm going to talk to a veteran activist and campaigner, someone who's been involved in stolen generations, childcare, Aboriginal health, mental health. And she's been around for a long time, struggling to get some sort of recognition for her people. I want to introduce you to my sister Marge, who's just come back from Tasmania. And I suppose you could say it was the resurrection of the Aboriginal Provisional Government. Marge, you went to a meeting surrounding that sort of issue.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. And there was a meeting yesterday of the Aboriginal Provisional Government in Launceston. And I'd like to read a statement out from that meeting, and it basically is the position of the Aboriginal Provisional Government from now on. It says it's the Invasion Day statement. Aboriginal Provisional Government supports Tent Embassy. The APG acknowledges the four brave men who were sent by their people to establish the Tent Embassy in Canberra in 1972. We pay respects to the brothers and sisters who used the potent message of the Tent Embassy to defend the rights of self-determination and sovereignty. It was one of the most significant acts of resistance in recent history, and the APG honours warriors from all corners of the country for their endurance and legacy. While Julia Gillard is preoccupied with meaningless constitutional reform, she is neglecting the government's fiduciary duty to deal properly with Aboriginal people. Genocide is still perpetuated through interference of state bureaucracies in the life of every Aboriginal person. Self-determination is overlooked at the height of its necessity. Constitutional debate is a distraction for the Gillard government. The proposal from the so-called expert panel is all about assimilation. Because of that, we will oppose it. The APG makes the position clear. No law that directly affects Aboriginal people should be passed without prior informed consent. In a democracy, it is the right of Indigenous peoples to select their own representatives. In the last 15 years, the opportunities for Aboriginal people to have their say has been stage managed by government and its lackeys. The agenda has been theirs, not ours. The APG met in Launceston this week to reaffirm our commitment to the continual struggle for self-determination. Our next steps will be to fostering real debate through state forums and new media. The APG reminds its supporters for the need to maintain dialogue amongst ourselves. This will determine the leaders from the lackeys. While Australians celebrate a day that represents the history of booze, barbecues, bloodshed and theft, we continue our resistance. Despite the mindless nationalism of some Australians, we remember the invasion. This is Invasion Day. Calls to have a new day are well-founded. Like in New Zealand, a true national day will be the day that the government signs a treaty with the Aboriginal people. this is the day we will celebrate.
Yeah, that's, thanks for that, Marge. And that's a statement that was made by the Aboriginal Provisional Government, who met this week in Launceston, or Hobart, was it, Marge? Hobart.
Launceston, that's right.
Just recently, and they've signalled their support for the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. Yeah, thanks for that, Marge.
No worries, Rod.
So what's the strategy of the Aboriginal Government? What's their new plans?
Well, the strategies. Actually, I got a new passport yesterday, and they're looking really good. I actually left it in the car. But so the website for the Aboriginal Provisional Government is www.apg, and so check it out. So check it out, and the supporters have been with us for a long time, and you know, people have continued to struggle in their own way. What we're hoping to do is to initiate discussions about the current issues that are happening, and certainly the constitutional reform is one. So what we'd like to initiate is forums throughout the country. So if anyone is keen to get that happening, I think what we need to do amongst ourselves is educate ourselves about the issues, if we don't already know, but certainly prepare ourselves and start working out, you know, a process to continue the struggle, because it's going to keep on going for a while yet. We have to maintain the rage, I guess. Today is a day of sorrow, and it's a day for condolences, and it's a day for remembering those of our people who were fallen in the struggle. So check out the website, and we'll keep you posted.
Okay. Just tell us a little bit why it's necessary to have a sort of structure like that for Aboriginal people, a government structure. Now, there's many ways to liberate ourselves. The APG is possibly one of them, I suspect.
The APG stands for self-determination, and what we're saying is that we have the right to represent ourselves. That's the first principle of self-determination. And that's not only in the Declaration of Indigenous Rights, that is already a right that everybody has around the world except for Indigenous people in this country. The provisional government is provisional until we have a treaty. And, you know, we're encouraging all arms and across the country. We don't want to be a top-heavy organisation. It's not about dictating from the top down. It's about encouraging people in communities across this country to participate and be informed and stand up and fight for a treaty, fight for self-determination and be recognised. And the same as the Black GST, you know, it's the same. There's nothing new. We're saying the same things, and it doesn't matter whether it's the APG or whether it's the Black GST or Camp Sovereignty. We've been struggling to have recognition of sovereignty. We want the right to self-determination, and we want the end of genocide in this country. That's about it.
Thank you, Marge. And Marge is the women's delegate for the new revamped Aboriginal Provisional Government. So keep your eyes out for that mob. Something that we can use in order to liberate ourselves in this country. It's one of the things that we can use. The Aboriginal Tent Embassy is Camp Sovereignty for me. This is where my understanding of sovereignty comes from. This is one little area in this country that we can call our own here. And you know, this is our bit of land, and it's probably, I call this place my home. So keep your eyes out for the APG, and if you want to get involved, check Marge out, and check out the website of the APG. Listen to 3CR Community Radio. We're streaming live, broadcasting live out of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy on the lawns of the old Parliament House. Stay tuned, 8:55 a.m. Community Radio.
You're listening to 3CR's 40 Days of Radical Radio Special, celebrating 3CR's 40 fabulous years of community radio.
In the end, all that will be left.
To deny an identity of a people is to deny them their existence. And that's the ultimate of the process of genocide in which this government of today and all the previous governments have tried to do to our people. With every breath that we take is a breath of survival. With every breath that we take is a breath of resistance. And how strong we take it today will measure the strength of our children in the future.
You're listening to 3CR, where everyone's history matters.
Hello, I'm Kev Carmody. You're listening to 3CR, local community radio station. They're our lifeline to the community, so please support.
Jack Dealin went a-walking upon a market day. From half a mile outside the town on foot he made his way. Well, once a week he had this job at the sale yard driving.
Genocide here is a lot more sneaky than it is in Rwanda or other places around the world. It's one thing white fellas learnt in the last 200 years to be very sneaky about their genocide. You look at the 38 nations that were here before white settlement, and then you count up the numbers that are still surviving, still out there doing their business on their country. Well, there's only 25 left, so what happened to the other 13?
Let's talk about the Black GST. Genocide to be stopped, sovereignty acknowledged and treaties made. Tune into Fire First every Wednesday from 11 a.m. till 12 midday on 3CR with Robbie Thorpe.
Just welcome again back to the Community Radio Network across Australia. We're coming to you live from the 40th anniversary of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy site here on the front of the old Parliament House in Canberra. We've just had a shock statement for those of you that weren't listening earlier. Well, I'm in shock. Apparently, Tony Abbott just made a press statement literally a couple of hundred metres from us, saying that in response to the Tent Embassy, that it should be scrapped. And that's, you know, we've just had the constitutional reform a week ago. All these wonderful things are supposed to be happening. We've got an opposition leader that says that. I'm here with Lyle Munro, and he's just come back from where Tony Abbott's actually made the statement. And Lyle also led us on the march today. We marched all around Canberra, led the police on a merry chase, but didn't expect Mr. Abbott to come looking for us, did we, Lyle?
No, particularly since he was backed up by his comrade in arms, Julie Gillard. They were both over there making disparaging, racist remarks about the embassy and saying that the embassy should be pulled down, and I think they will be talking about some form of legislation to pull the embassy down. When we found out about that, the embassy just moved en masse over to the coffee shop there next door to the embassy. Most of your mob down there know the area we're talking about. And we surrounded them. The whole hundreds of Aboriginal people from the embassy surrounded the coffee shop and wouldn't let either of them out, particularly Tony Abbott. There was chants there, land rights, this is, you know, all the chants started going up, and then people started hitting the window and clapping with anything that they had in their hands. And it's a really remarkable sight. It's to me spells a re-emergence of the struggle. And like we said there today, and all those magnificent people spoke and told that incredible history of 40 years ago when four of our young brothers came down here and set an umbrella up outside of Parliament House, the old Parliament House. It created a ripple that sent a shockwave, not just a wave, it sent a shockwave through this country. It jogged the racist conscience in this country. And what's more, they made it possible for Aboriginal Australia to continue to cross over those frontiers. The frontier here today, incidentally, was the police. They're starting to move. They've formed their usual line. We've decided to retreat back here to the embassy because we have little children amongst us, and we also have old people. Keep in mind that a lot of us came here as teenagers and young people in 40 years ago, and now we found ourselves at the helm of the people here, and people are actually referring to us as elders.
I've got great pleasure in introducing the only surviving member of the original Tent Embassy. The Gang of Four there, and it's Michael Anderson, also known as Gilla. And tell us the name of your country again, Michael. I always get this wrong.
No, my mob is the Ualio, and we're a border people in central northwestern New South Wales and southern central Queensland. and my father's people are Gomeroi.
It's a pleasure to meet you, brother, and I've known you for some years now. I don't think it's quite 40.
No, not 40.
But, you know, I've seen what you've done over them years, and I've admired not just yourself, but all them brothers, Billy, Bert, and Tony. I think they've created a fire for our people, and we need to keep it going. What's your feelings 40 years on from that day, brother?
Well, as far as I was concerned, and for me, my position is that the fire that we had then, I still have it. But I'm even more angry now. I'm angrier now and more disturbed now, because we started achieving self-determination with Whitlam and Fraser toned it down to self-management. But then when we began to get a good solid footing, like with the National Aboriginal Consultative Committee, the black politics that they set up as the Black Parliament, we referred to it as the Black Parliament. Then later we saw that the government began to whittle that down and take away their powers because they said that, they weren't serving the purpose. And it disappointed me to know that, I'm a black fellow with name names, and I can back up what I say. Yeah. Lois O'Donoghue worked with Nugget Coombs to rewrite the agenda, to rewrite the terms of that organisation, because they were saying they were dealing with political issues. Like one of the resolutions that they had was to call for apartheid or to end apartheid in South Africa and let's take some, sanctions. They promoted sanctions against South Africa. They promoted sanctions against... what's that other country, Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. And they also called upon the CHOGM, the Commonwealth Heads of Government, to institute a program of human rights where they could investigate human rights within the British Empire, the old British Empire, and all of those colonial states that are remaining. And they were really taking the issue up. They also developed, which is not what many, not many people know this, but they developed a statement of claim for a declaration in the High Court of Australia at that time on the question of sovereignty and land rights.
Wow, is that around, that document?
I have the document with me, because we had to hide it.
I think it's a document, because it's the issue that's been here since day one, and it's been my issue, the issue of sovereignty in this country. And as you see, Michael, the gathering here today, they all understand this issue now. It's an issue that took me a long time to really understand. And I know that there's a lot of our people out there who still don't understand the meaning of it, but basically what it is, it's whose land is this and whose law is it? And that's what the sovereignty is. And when you ask a black fellow whose land it is, he's going to say it's his.
Mm.
And whose law of it, and they'll say that too. So we understand sovereignty inside us, but it's this terminology that's being used that we've had to get our head around. And what this Camp Sovereignty is doing is breaking that all down and peeling it all back and getting to the real issues. That's why I love this place. It's the only really the real bit of Aboriginal land in this country that we got left, the one we can do our own business on. So that's why it's so special for me. And I want to say thank you to all your mob and all the other mob who have kept this going. And there's a long list of them. And one I really want to make mention of while I'm here, brother, is a man by the late... He's finished now, the late Dr. Bruce McGuinness, and I know that he was very much involved in the early workings of the embassy, and he was a man who introduced me to politics, so I've got a lot from his work, the work that he was pushing here, so I just want to say thank you for all you men and women who have stood up for our people in this country. And
We will not negotiate with minor state of title government or anyone on our culture, on our land. If people say, you're going to finish up with nothing, well then so be it. But at least our hearts will tell us that we did not sell out our country and our culture and heritage for a few scungy dollars.
Subscribe to 3CR so that your dollars support Indigenous voices and the struggle for land justice.
For Aboriginal people, the greatest grief of all is seeing the country destroyed. And somewhere along the line, we have to realise that we don't actually have the right to do that, that nothing we've ever done has given us the right to do that. Now, you know where I stand on this, because I'm so simple-minded, I think we've just got to admit that this is an Aboriginal country. Just do it.
Three. 3CR's Turn 40, and from Monday 10th of October right through to Saturday 19th of November, we're celebrating. Join us on 3CR Breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m. Monday to Saturday as we delve into our rich 3CR archive and bring you half an hour of historic gems. So start your day with the sounds that built a station. 40 days of groundbreaking audio celebrating 3CR's 40 years of radical radio.